Energy can be tough to understand. When we flip a light switch, we know the light should come on, but we might not know where that power comes from or why it costs what it costs. In New England, much of those costs are controlled by a select group of stakeholders called the New England Power Pool, or NEPOOL. As NHPR's Annie Ropeek reports, NEPOOL is now facing criticism for a lack of transparency and for decisions that could be raising the already high cost of energy in the region.
To understand why NEPOOL exists and what it has to do with your electric bills, we need to go back in time to 1965. It's a cold November evening, and New York City's WABC radio is playing the hits during rush hour. The frequency starts to wobble as high demand for electricity strains the power grid, made up of separate utilities with their own systems, from Toronto to New York to New England. Finally, somewhere in Ontario, a fail-safe trips, sparking a chain reaction.
The lights are dimming in the studio. You wouldn't believe what's going on in the studio, folks.
Before this DJ or the region's utilities know what's happening, the grid goes down in a cascade of overloaded transmission lines and automatic shutoffs. An estimated 30 million Northeast residents are plunged into darkness. NBC's Robert Abernathy reported the news.
The Northeastern United States tonight suffered its worst electric power failure in history. There were massive traffic jams and confusion, especially at train stations.
The blackout of 1965 happened largely because the grid was too disjointed to easily absorb a human error. So when the lights came back on in the morning, the region's utilities decided things had to change. Here's New Hampshire's utility ratepayer advocate, Don Kreese.
They built a facility in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and each individual utility surrendered operational control of its transmission and generation facilities to this central dispatching facility, a big control room in Holyoke. And to facilitate that, they created an organization called the New England Power Pool.
NEPOOL ran the Northeast grid that way for a few decades. Then federal regulators proposed taking the model a step further. They wanted to set up new neutral nonprofits to manage each region's grid and energy market and to encourage more open competition with the big utilities. This gave us the Independent System Operator of New England, or the ISO. They're the current tenant in that Holyoke control room, and their only job is to keep the lights on. But NEPOOL didn't go away. It remained as a kind of trade group, and it kept a lot of power. It makes recommendations to the ISO on things like energy prices or the need for new transmission lines. Don Kreese says this means major decisions about energy in New England can still be made by industry.
We rely on markets to assure that the electricity grid is operated in the public interest. The markets are extremely complicated. The market rules are extremely complicated. And the market rules are debated at NEPOOL.
Kreese is actually a member of NEPOOL. Electricity customers and public officials do have a seat at the table, but NEPOOL's voting structure is weighted to give them less of a voice than, say, big utilities and power plant owners. Then there's what Kreese calls the jump ball provision. If NEPOOL members disagree with an ISO proposal, they can submit their own idea to the federal government, and regulators will basically pick between the two.
And that makes NEPOOL more powerful than the other stakeholder advisory boards at other regional transmission organizations around the country. That is a big deal.
Kreese and other critics say several times in recent years, federal regulators have favored NEPOOL proposals that wound up costing customers, helping make electric rates in New England some of the highest in the country. Kreese says a lot of these market changes could be seen as gold plating, adding endless backup measures and redundancies in the name of making the grid reliable. But members of the electric industry tend to think the structure in New England works just fine. Bill Quinlan is president of New Hampshire's biggest utility, Eversource. At a recent industry conference, he told me they're just trying to avoid a catastrophe like the blackout of 1965.
We don't believe we are overly conservative in the way we approach reliability. We never want to have an instance where the grid can't deliver the energy needed to keep a resident's lights on or a business going forward.
But there's one other problem that critics point to. The people that use that service aren't in the room when NEPOOL decides how much reliability is worth charging them for. Neither are news outlets. NEPOOL's meetings are closed to the public. That doesn't sit well with Tyson Slocum, a lobbyist with the group Public Citizen.
Under the current NEPOOL process, it is impossible for the public or for journalists to understand who originally came up with a market reform proposal.
On top of that, he says lobbyists for industry are allowed to sell the details they hear in those private meetings to outside parties. Slocum has joined media outlets and other watchdogs to put two complaints before federal regulators about NEPL's public access policies. One is about whether an energy industry journalist can join NEPL. The other says the closed-door policy violates federal law. NEPL's secretary and lawyer David Duke declined to be interviewed on tape for this story while those federal complaints are still unresolved. But he told me in writing that NEPL posts many of their records online and routinely talks to reporters about new market proposals. I asked if NEPL's public access policies and weighted voting structure could allow utilities to prioritize profits over keeping costs down for customers. Duke characterized this as a claim that NEPL members and federal regulators, quote, collectively have all been ineffective in ensuring balanced consideration of customers' interests. He continued, NEPL rejects that claim. But Tyson Slocum says NEPL's approach is unusual. Across the country, other regional grid operators and stakeholder groups let the public come to meetings and ask questions.
This is a serious breach of public trust committed by NEPL here. They are tasked by federal regulators to operate the only official electricity policy forum for the entire region, and they are saying members of the general public have no entitlement to attend or understand that process. And that's just deeply upsetting to me.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is still considering the transparency challenges against NEPL. The cases could decide whether the organization must open its doors. And they could set a broader precedent about how much control federal regulators have over the groups they've tasked with keeping the lights on. For NHPR News, I'm Annie Ropeek.